What is up, Wisconsin? Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. It's going to be a fun Friday for us. Happy Mother's Day. A little bit early to everybody. We've got a special guest coming up in just a second. And everybody, of course, we've got Terry Barr joining us at the bottom of the hour for what is local and overlooked across the state this week. You're not going to want to miss that. And of course, don't forget, you can check out the Brewers versus the Cards on the Civic Media app. First pitch at 6:30. But enough ado of all of that. Let me bring on my next guest. Really excited. My next guest is David Poitinger. He is the owner and operator, along with his beautiful wife, of a whole gamut of really cool joints across Milwaukee. Bars and Wrecked, Amp, Axe Milwaukee, Game Show Milwaukee, Nine Below, North South, Splash Studio, and the newest addition to your family, the new fashion. Welcome, David.
Thank you very much for having me. Happy to talk about bars and recreation and all the cool stuff that we do.
Yeah, how did you and your wife get started in the business? It's a tough business.
That is an epic question with an epic story. So back in 2012, I was working for Miller Coors, and my wife was working for the Bel Canto Chorus and a nonprofit. And we were thinking to ourselves, what could we do together? At the time, it was, could we do a little something fun to get a little extra spending money? And what we settled on was that we would combine the fact that I was beer at the time and she was arts at the time. And we made Splash Studio, and we leased a 2,300 square foot space in the Third Ward in Milwaukee, and we bootstrapped it, and we built it out, and we bled for it, and together we built Splash Studio, which at the time was one of the first, you know, we all remember the painting bar thing, right?
Yes.
At the time was one of the first painting bars really in Wisconsin and certainly in Milwaukee. And it was a little firecracker and it did really well. And that was kind of the beginning of what would eventually become Bars and Recreation.
Which is so amazing. Congratulations on all your success. Of course, got to give a shout out to Marla because you do it together as a team. What's it like what's it like working with your spouse every day?
Yeah, it's all the ings, right? It's exhilarating. it's exciting. But it's also stressful and it's hard. And we also, you know, in addition to doing this together and having the five different facilities and the different commercial properties, we have three children as well. Between the ages, they're 10, 6, and 3. I coach baseball. You know, there's a lot that's going on. And, you know, Marla and I always talk about it that we've already spent, you know, the amount of time that a normal couple will spend together over the course of their lives, you know, actually being in the physical presence of that person, we're probably already there. we've maxed that out. But somehow, I think in any great relationship or partnership in business, personal, you have to balance each other, right? And we're both very different people. You can boil it down to the kind of funny, and that's, you know, she's very organized and I'm not. but I think when you talk seriously about it, like, we both have our silos that we work out of in the business and our own responsibilities. And that kind of starts with Marla being CEO. At the end of the day, Marla is the CEO of Bars and Recreation. I am the chief innovation officer. But everything at the end of the day rolls up through Marla, and she's very, very good at running an organization. And it's a growing organization, one that in the last, you know, 3 months took a giant step forward. We doubled our square footage footprint in the city of Milwaukee by adding New Fashioned, which, you know, we could talk about as a monster space. But she is very, very talented at running an organization, motivating people, collaborating across, you know, from a B2B standpoint. And it's a lot of fun to work with her every single day, as much as it is sometimes challenging.
I love that. Well, happy Mother's Day to Marla.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. What are you guys doing to celebrate this weekend?
You know, right now,
work.
It is work. However, right now the calendar is open. There's nothing necessarily happening at one of the facilities. There's no baseball. So we're going to take the day to relax, go get some food and kind of spend the day just kind of with the family and enjoy that.
Well, that's wonderful. David, tell, I want to, of course, talk about the new fashion. I met you there just about 2 weeks ago, but take everybody through each of the different properties and entertainment places that you all have in your collection.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it chronologically and quickly so that, you know, it stays exciting for people. So Splash Studio was the first one. That's the painting bar. After that, we did Nine Below, which is the build your own mini golf experience. For any of you Milwaukeeans listening out there, that is the former Decibel and Library Club and Mantra Lounge. You know, we can keep going back. That only ages you as you understand.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing.
It's a little embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Nine Below is the mini golf. And that's really cool because you build your own mini golf course. Really kind of a fun, unique thing. Makes sense because only fun and unique things would be in a basement on North Avenue. Then there's Axe Milwaukee, which is just around the corner from Nine Below on the east side of Milwaukee. That was the first axe throwing bar in southeastern Wisconsin. And it was one of the first facilities in the country that you could go do two shots of tequila at the bar, then walk over to a lane and throw a dangerous weapon down a lane. And I think one of the reasons that we were one of the first to be able to do that was because the city of Milwaukee trusted us by that point. We were respected operators, but Axe Milwaukee was very unique at the time and still remains a very fun place. Then we have North South Club in Walker's Point, which is a combination of axe throwing and deck shuffleboard. We kind of really locked in the axe throwing market with North South Club. And then you've got Amped, which is private suite karaoke. That's over in the brewery district. And then just down the road from Amped is the newest facility. Oh, I should mention that Game Show MKE is in the Axe facility, is in the Amped facility. So if you enjoy the game show concepts, you can check that out there. And then just down the road from Amped, all those spaces combined that I listed are about 32,000 square feet in total that we operate.
Wow.
And then New Fashioned alone is a 25,000 square foot restaurant and entertainment space. And that is it is kind of the jewel of the Deer District, which makes it kind of one of the jewel facilities of Milwaukee. And it's absolutely massive from a food and beverage standpoint. It's a giant facility. It's a huge undertaking. But that's been a lot of fun. And we've got some really awesome activations in there with dart ball for any of you Milwaukeeans out there who remember, you know, going into church basements and throwing darts. And then you've got hyper bowling, which is state-of-the-art bowling experience, and indoor outdoor curling. So those are all the different facilities. So I'll give the little hit right here, barsandrecreation.com. If you're looking to learn more, just to make sure that I get that out there.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for that. I have to be honest, until I scheduled you for the interview, I had no idea of the number of businesses that were included under the Bars and Recreation umbrella. It is an incredible undertaking. Again, hats off to Marla as the CEO of all of that. The logistics alone. You mentioned something, and then we're going to talk about the new fashion, but you mentioned something that I thought was really interesting, that people across the state who are small business owners or bar, restaurant, or entertainment venue owners might be interested in. You mentioned establishing trust with the city of Milwaukee. How did you do that? What is essential when you're operating? Frankly, you know, a lot of people get a good dose of NIMBY if there's a new bar, entertainment venue going in their neighborhood. How do you establish that trust, not just with the municipality, which is really an outgrowth of trust with the community?
Yeah, you have to prove it at the end of the day. You know, you're always looking for somebody to give you your first shot. And we were able to get our first shot from Robert Joseph Properties, who leased us our first space. And at the time, we were both 28 years old, had no proven track record. But you're always looking for somebody that will give you that first shot. We were fortunate enough to be given that. We had a good concept. We had a really good business plan. And, you know, we were ambitious, but we also didn't bite off more than we can chew. And I think at that point, then, you know, if you can prove yourself successful there, then the city will start to trust you. The city representatives will start to trust you, and the community will start to trust you. But one of the things we learned about Milwaukee is that every single community that we go into, if it's the Third Ward or if it's Walker's Point or if it's the East Side, every single time that we've gone in there, we've done a community outreach meeting where we present our concept and the alderman is there and takes us through, you know, we take the community through what we're planning to do and how we're planning to do it and why it's going to be safe and what the different hours are that we're going to have, right? So there is so much legwork that goes into ensuring that these places are successful from the jump and that the community accepts them. And it's not always easy. You know, a lot of people sometimes will fear when they hear a new bar coming in. But one of the things that we always emphasize is that activating a vacant space helps an area. It helps reduce crime. It helps bring more traffic, which does great things. We really consider the bars and recreation facilities to be grow the pie facilities because a lot of them don't have a food program. So we partner with a lot of local caterers and a lot of local restaurants to be catering partners with us. So you really have to prove it. You have to talk to the right people and understand, you know who the people are that you need to be communicating with and being proactive with. But it's about establishing trust and doing things the right way. And we really pride ourselves on that. But every time it's a new set of challenges.
My guest this half hour is David Pointinger, the Chief Innovation Officers for Bars and Recreation. They got a number of very cool places for Milwaukeeans and folks in southeastern Wisconsin and visitors to this area to go have fun. They just added the behemoth of behemoths to their lineup with the new old fashioned, excuse me, the new fashioned, want to get the name right here, Max. I want to ask you all about what it's like to operate in a space that big. You've added a food program there or kept it going. You had to think about how to deliver food in a space that big. So many challenges. You're not going to want to go anywhere. Again, I'm going to have Terry Barr coming up at the bottom of the hour for Local and Overlooked. And I just want to say to all of you out there, if you've got a mom that you're going to want to shout out and who you want to have her hear her name on the radio, I'm going to be taking those calls after the bottom of the hour. If you want to say Happy Mother's Day to your mom or give homage to a mother or a mother-like figure in your life, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We'll be back with David in just a moment. Wisconsin. Hope y'all having a that is all Anya Ester, my unbelievable producer. If you ever have a question, if you're listening and want to know what the heck was that great tune you just heard, you can always text on an 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, if you have a mom, if you want to give homage to a mom, have a remembrance of a mother, there's somebody that's played a mother role in your life that you want to give a shout out to, I'm going to start taking those calls at the bottom of this hour. We all have somebody we need to thank. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. But I'm joined this half hour by the Chief Innovation Officer for Bars and Recreation Properties, David Pointinger. Again, David, thanks so much for being here. You just opened what is, by any stretch of any bar owner's imagination, just an amazingly huge space in a premier location, but it poses certain challenges. That is the new fashion. It is right down there in the Deer District. What's so challenging about this space other than the sheer size of it, David?
Yeah, so first off, it's for those of people who don't know, it's right in the Deer District, right across from Pfizer Forum, 25,000 square feet. And one of the first challenges is how do you handle the, in some ways, feast or famine of what's going on at the arena, right? When things are going on in the arena, it's great. And, you know, you cook and that's great. But you need an operator who can activate a space and can make sure that the non-arena times, the non-Bucks games times, and the non-concerts times, that there are things going on. Now, luckily, Bars and Recreation, we have a very talented team in our marketing department and our sales department, and we're very good at activating both, you know, permanently activating, finding and making big investments like in the hyper bowling. For those of you who haven't done hyper bowling before, it's a Cubica AMF product that has little bumpers that pop up and sensors, and it turns bowling into a video game. So that's a super high tech activation, but also dart ball is very simple. It's throwing giant darts at a baseball field, and indoor outdoor curling is straightforward in that it's, a sheet of, what do they call it? Iceless ice or non-frozen ice or plastic, that you roll, you know,
the real
curling
term, plastic.
The technical term is really heavy duty plastic. I tried to come up with a really fancy way to put it, but at the end of the day, it's plastic. Right. But all of those things combined kind of make it feel like you've got a lot of different options and a lot of different things. So we're very good at activating those permanent things and training our team on how to train you on how to do those things and make sure that you can get maximum enjoyment. But we're also good like temporary activators. So if it's bringing our hole-in-one challenge or we've got a karaoke trailer, all kinds of fun stuff that we can do to kind of keep the help keep the Deer District and that plaza cooking. So that is kind of, that's the biggest challenge is how do you activate it when there isn't something going on at the arena? And then a secondary challenge is how do you create a food program for a space that's 25,000 square feet? And the previous operator, had a very complex food model. And we, you know, the talk this week has been a lot about collaboration, and we work with a food partner, Benson's Hospitality Group, who is our food partner in the kitchen. And they do a great job of, they did a great job and they're currently doing a great job of creating a menu that's simple, that's Wisconsin, but is easily replicable, right? Because in a post-COVID world, the idea that you're going to run a scratch kitchen in 25,000 square feet is so incredibly difficult. The staffing for that alone is so monstrous. So we're very proud of the strategy and the collaboration there with Benson's. And that's both Bars and Rec and Benson's coming up with a fast delivery model that can work when you're operating a massive event like a Bucks game, but it can also work on a normal Friday night when there's nothing going on. And there's a delicate balance between how you do that to make the customer feel like they're getting good product both times.
So a question that I ask everybody that comes on for this segment, whether they're chefs or whether they're a bar owner, whomever it may be, and that is when you've got a customer in one of your spaces and something's not going right, first of all, what really means something's not going right for a customer? That's question one. And question two is, what do you hope customers do when something ain't what you would hope it to be?
Well, you know, something not going right varies by the customer. And that's one of the most challenging things about hospitality is that some things that are good for one customer isn't necessarily good for the other. And when you add food, that makes that element only more amplified. But one of the things that we really try to do is provide enough people throughout the space that gives enough that gives enough touch points for the customer so that if they have an issue, it's very clear that they can find the person to talk to someone on site, because that's always the best. It's always the best scenario is that if they talk to us and we can fix it on site before they ever leave the space, that's always where we're going to find the most success. And one of the cool things about bars and recreation facilities that I always talk about is that, you know, when they're there for an hour and a half of axe throwing, you know, if we mess up a little bit at the beginning, we got another, you know, hour 20 that we were guaranteed to spend with them to fix it. But you know, there are always the scenarios, and we are far from perfect, and we are humans, where things won't go right. And, you know, we always prefer the customer to reach out to us privately. There are obviously other ways that people can express their discontent with, yeah, with any sort of bar or restaurant, but we always find that, you know, the old fashioned phone call or an email, if there was a problem with your experience and you sent us an email, you are going to get a response. Like there is definitely going to be something. If it's a legitimate concern, you are going to get a response. We're going to try to find a way to make it right. But it's always challenging because, you know, especially a place like New Fashioned, the sheer number of people that we put through that facility is mind-boggling, and creating an experience that is consistent for, you know, the thousands of people that come through there, and the, you know, it's got a capacity of 1,000 people. So, you know, even if we bat, you know, 99.99%, there's still, you know,
it's a good number of people.
Was that 10 people? 10 yep. people out of 1,000? Is that good math? That might be 10 people. That might be a little upset.
There's a rule about radio, David, and it's never do math on the radio.
Okay, well, someone's going to call me out for that, for bad math.
No, I think
it's only one.
I think you did just fine there. I wanted to ask you one last question. We got about a minute left here, yeah. sir. And that is, I'm a lawyer by trade, and when I heard about the concept of an axe bar, and I think the first place I heard about it was a friend that lived in Chicago, and I went, how the heck do you insure a joint mm-hmm. like that? You're serving mm-hmm. adults adult beverages, and they're yep. throwing weapons, aren't they? How heavy is the insurance load relative to other spots?
First off, the insurance companies absolutely love us. They're a big fan. They're a big fan. The number one reason for that is they can charge us a lot of money, but rarely does anything ever go wrong. So we're very popular. Second, we've got a very good waiver. We've worked with a very good attorney who has written a very good waiver. But really where it starts with is education and making sure that people are safe. So, all those different things, like rarely have we had something go wrong. However, I'd be lying to you if someone hasn't bled after, you know, doing something silly, like handing the axe the way you're not supposed to, or yes. pulling it back too far. But at the end of the day, the insurance company's a big fan of ours because we pay them a lot of money, and rarely does anything ever happen.
My guest this half hour, Chief Innovation Officer and co-founder of Bars and Recreation, David Poitinger. Thanks so much, David. Happy Mother's Day to you and Marla and your family.
Happy Mother's Day to my mom, Marla, and my mother-in-law.
Wonderful. We'll be back after your farm update with Terry Barr for what's local and overlooked in Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. Time goes wild. Every day I'm losing my mind. Welcome back, Wisconsin. Happy Friday, TGIF. I hope you got something great planned this weekend. If you would like to give a shout out to your mom or someone who has played the role of a mother in your life that you love, I am welcoming your calls or texts. This half hour, 855-752-4842, 855-752-CIVIC. Oh, 855-752-4842. I mess it up sometimes. 855-75-CIVIC if you want to do it the easy way. Really excited to be joined this half hour by Civic Media's own Terry Barr for what's local and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome, Terry.
And hey, congratulations on your Wisconsin Broadcasting Awards. Wonderful, wonderful news.
Oh, thanks, Terry. I haven't talked about it on the air, but if folks are listening, Anya and I pulled down a first place at the WBAs this past weekend for Best Web Story, and we got a second place for Best Talk Show in the large market. So it was a good weekend. Thanks Yay! For that shout out, Terry.
I had to. You guys are doing terrific work, and I'm just so happy to be able to join you when I can. So I've got two things for you today. This one just crossed my desk, Maggie, so I thought, oh, this is going to be good. This is brand new. So I dug into the numbers a little bit, and it's about Wisconsin farms and Wisconsin farmers. There's a brand new report now from Wisconsin Farmers Union, and it shows the number of brand new small beginner farms is actually up 16% in the last 5 years. I think this is amazing news to know people care enough about farming and they're going back to the way it all started with these brand new small farms. And of course, we've talked about things in the past like the state losing 10% of its farms with more than 400 being either sold or going out of business. That also happening over the last 5 to 7 years. So just this small uptick is pretty great to see. Although many of the farmers in this brand new survey, this won't surprise you, most are still working a full-time job away from the farm. And then when they farm, they either have to do it early morning, at night, or weekends. So, you know, it is a farming thing. You work 7 days a week all the time.
No kidding. That is so great to hear, Terry. I have a very dear friend whose family got pushed off land based upon eminent domain and economic development needs. And they did move and relocate their farm. But I know how hard he and his family work to keep that farm going. So that is certainly great to hear. What else you got for us?
Yes. All right. Here's the other one. And this is about a small village in Wisconsin, the only area of the state now named as one of America's best places to retire. We're talking about the village of Waukesha. Not the city, but the village of Waukesha, right outside Waukesha. This is making the bankingrates.com list. And here's all the reasons why. Small town charm, semi-rural, the quality of life can't be beat, very low crime rate in the village, all the necessary services you need, yep, it's in the village, and affordable taxes for retirees. How about that? The guesstimate for the village of Waukesha, if you're a retiree and you're trying to live there and you want to kind of guess your cost of living, the survey guessed it at right around $3,500 a month, but that doesn't include rent or a house payment. So that's good stuff.
What a great shout out for the village of Waukesha and also Waukesha generally. I have to admit, before doing the show live out of Waukesha every day, and this is City of, I wasn't as familiar with Waukesha as I probably should have been. And there's an incredible amount of charm and community. It's extremely walkable. I would expect that also of the village of Waukesha. I know my parents are in retirement. They were fortunate enough to be able to retire, but the challenge of trying to figure out how to make that all work, I think, is omnipresent for all retirees. And so to have the village of Waukesha rate so highly is, I think, a great testament to how livable Wisconsin is, and also, of course, Waukesha, but Wisconsin writ large for retirees.
Absolutely. And it's great to know that this kind of homework is being done, you know, because it can kind of help us with our own parents and maybe even help us a little bit at some point when we start talking about that R word, if we ever get to do that.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, as everybody, you know, again, it's Mother's Day this weekend, and everybody, I think, wants their family and their parents to be in a good place as they retire. Yet the system here in the United States is sort of oriented almost to make that an impossibility for so many people. One of the things that I think about a lot is how difficult retirement savings and getting ready for retirement is. It feels to some people like overwhelmingly complex. And of course, pensions have largely disappeared for folks. So we're all left to our own devices if we're fortunate enough to have an employer tax-deferred 401k plan. That's certainly great, but you still have to figure out, well, how much do I need to save? When do I increase it? Where do I put my investments? It's amazingly, to me, how very, very difficult we make it for people. And then you layer on, of course, the complexity of, should I rely on Social Security? If people are of current Social Security age, when do I take it? Wait, if I wait, there'll be more Social Security, but when... It's very Byzantine. I wish we could make this simpler for people.
Oh, I am absolutely there with you. Yep, navigating some of this with my mom. And yeah, then the whole thing on top of it is just hoping you can stay healthy and trying to work really hard to do that. So that's not something you have to deal with immediately, that you get to enjoy some retirement.
Well, I think that's, you know, and again, I ran a retirement plan for the city of Milwaukee for many years. And one of the things that we tried to help people think about was estimates of healthcare costs for people given your current age can be absolutely crushing. And so, you know, how do you plan for that? Now, the good news is if you start saving early, and even if you're into your 30s or 40s or even early 50s, this is one of those things that anytime you start saving, it will help you. There's no question about that. It's almost never too late unless you want to retire like tomorrow. That's a little bit late. But other than that, if you get going early and you make an effort of it, one of the things that I always tell people is they should think about is automatic escalators within their 401k plan so that when you do get a bump in your salary, it bumps up automatically year over year a percentage point or two so that you don't feel the pain of saving as much. We've got a texter texting in, Terry. I thought I'd pass along a question. What are they thinking is reasonable for retirement costs? $3,500 a month without a house payment or rent seems really expensive. Many people don't make that much while they're working full-time, let alone retire for $3,500 a month. What does the article from Bankrate say about that?
Well, and it's interesting. This is one of the lower cost of living prices that I saw. If you get into the East Coast, and Maggie, you know this from living out there, they then start estimating if you're going to try to retire, say, you know, somewhere outside of New York City or somewhere in Massachusetts, some of those cost of livings, they still were estimating around $5,000 to $6,000 a month. I guess it doesn't surprise me, also having lived in other places. But yeah, isn't that interesting? The Village of Waukesha and right around $3,500 a month is one of the lower prices or cost of living estimates on the top 40, which is where the Village of Waukesha fell.
I wonder if that is including like cost of living. Is that measured by Bankrate.com? Is that including healthcare costs? Because that could be a massive driver of day over day costs, because once you factor in those costs inclusive of prescription drugs, which again, President Biden is working to cap, boy, that can really dig into somebody's fixed income as it is in retirement.
Well, and the only item they pulled out of the survey that they noted was a separate cost was housing. So when they mentioned taxes, those taxes were in that $3,500. So if we're talking about medical, which would I'm going to guess would fall under quality of life, that's all included in that cost of living, too. So I'm glad you brought that up. The only thing pulled out was housing, but housing isn't cheap. And I totally agree with the person who texted. Thanks for that question.
No kidding. Well, one of the interesting things that I've noted, is, and there's more and more coverage of this within the financial media, is that there are increasing percentages of people across the spectrum of age cohorts, but especially in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and above, that are considering basically never buying a home. And part of the reasoning behind this is the flexibility that it affords, and also to a degree, now this is only to a degree, that you don't have the fluctuations that you may experience as a homeowner. In other words, something breaks, I will call the landlord and I don't have to bear the expense of that. And many are viewing that as a more reasonable or potentially less risky financial profile or expense profile than owning a home, which is a very interesting concept, since it would seem to me that this Bankrate.com analysis is effectively assuming that people likely own the home that they're living in and aren't experiencing a monthly cost for that housing.
Yeah. I remember being an early homeowner and your refrigerator broke or something like that, and you panicked. I mean, I think I would still panic now if something happens, but yeah, you have to prepare for those costs, and sometimes you just can't. So it is an interesting discussion about the haves and the have-nots and what they're looking at. And I really enjoy these kinds of conversations. So I'll keep looking for this kind of information to share with you, too.
I will. Yeah, I'll always geek out on this stuff because there's not one right. There's not one right solution for everybody. And I think, again, some of the financial media I've been reading about people making different choices about home ownership is reflecting that you can take a different approach, but that there are some fundamental pillars that can help people feel more financially stable. Cam from Nina texting in that he is looking for a place to live right now in Wisconsin in the Fox Crossing area. And some of the townhomes are like $2,400 a month on average for rent. It is really difficult to make ends meet, even if you're in the six figures. Milwaukee has experienced massive rent increases, which is really pinching folks that are working every day, especially if you've got a couple of kids. Where do you go? I mean, unless you want to live in a shoebox.
Right. Well, we talked about lacrosse last Friday.
Yes.
And how terrific planning. It's been a 30-year plan in the works, but it's finally coming to fruition with the very first public-private team together opening these townhomes and apartments. They are based on working people and what they can pay. And then there's also a senior section that is also affordable. So I hope that can trickle out around the state. I know there are other people in the state keeping an eye on this project to see how it goes. So maybe it could
Milwaukee,
be the start.
Yes, Milwaukee County has been focused a lot on affordable housing. It's one of the things that I think every single voter, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, should be asking their local, state, and federal elected officials about, which is, what are you doing to make housing affordable? We're going to have to leave it there, Terry. I wish you a really wonderful weekend. Thanks so much for being here. We'll talk to you next week.
Happy weekend to you and happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Thanks, Terry. Same to you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Network. If you have a mom or a mother figure that you'd like to shout out, now is your chance. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back, Wisconsin. Happy Friday, everybody. If you're wondering what to do this afternoon, not to fear. Civic Media's got you covered. Just download the app. The Brewers will be throwing the first pitch out at 6:35. They're playing the St. Louis Cardinals here at AmFam Field. You can check it out on any one of four of the Civic Media Radio Network family stations. I'll be there in person. Hopefully catching a baseball, you know, it would be my fifth. But wanted to talk with y'all a little bit about my mom, since I get to do that. If you have a mom or a mother figure that you would like to shout out in advance of this Sunday's Mother's Day, go ahead and give us a call or text, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Before we talk about my mom, I wanted to just take a minute to pause. Because I think sometimes weekends like this are hard for people who obviously who have lost their parents or whom may have had really challenging relationships with their moms or when it's Father's Day with their dads. And that's one of the reasons that I ask or try to cue up the question is, or someone who's played a mother-like figure in your life, not every mother-child relationship is healthy or a positive one. And so I think we all, if we're fortunate enough, have a woman who stepped forward in our life to give us the love and support that we all should have from our mothers. And so that's why I like to include, hey, or somebody that's played a mom role in your life. For those who may have lost their mothers recently or have really challenging relationships with their mothers, I hear you. I see you. I know that that is a lived everyday reality, and every single child and adult should have that great unconditional motherly love. It makes us all stronger and more compassionate people, I believe. But I wanted to share a little bit about my mom with y'all since I've got the opportunity here. My mom, her name's Shirley. She is a retired nurse. And her nursing past, I think, speaks a lot to who she is as a person. My mom is a licensed practical nurse which is the sort of nurse that does some of the hardest work within facilities. My mom worked at the Veterans Administration out in San Francisco following the Vietnam War, and boy, was that some hard work, caring for people in really tough, tough positions. My mom also worked in nursing homes for many, many years. And I just think that that speaks so much to who my mom is. My mom is the kind of lady who will show up with homemade soup even when you don't think you need it. I may be 47 years old, but she'll still do that to this day, and I love her for that. My mom is a get-things-done kind of mom. She doesn't look around for other people to help her. If something needs lifting, if something needs doing, if help needs given, that's who my mom is. Shirley will show up. She is a shower-upper of the highest order, and she taught me how to be that way, too. In other words, when you see somebody that needs some help, you don't stand around looking for who else might provide it. You don't stand around thinking about what else do I have to do? You show up and help people. And I thank my mom so much for setting that example for me. The other thing that my mom is really extraordinary at and that I have such deep admiration for is she taught me really early on by modeling this for me how to self-advocate. And what I mean by that is not just standing up for yourself, but saying when you think something isn't quite going the way you think it should, and really not just sticking up for yourself, but saying, hey, this is what I want. This is what I think I deserve. And that was incredibly empowering. And I don't know that we have yet integrated that idea into how we try to empower young women. I think it's much more prevalent now. I think that's part of what we're trying to get to. But that fundamental value of self-advocacy is absolutely essential to each person's happiness. In other words, do you have the boundaries that you need to have? And can you stick up for yourself when someone crosses them? Another way of putting it is, are you free, enabled, and empowered to go ahead and go get what you want? My mom also, at least to me as a little person, seemed downright fearless and how she tackled every day. And that fearlessness, I know my mom tried to instill in me. That self-advocacy, that helpfulness, and that fearlessness that I perceived and saw in my mom modeled every day through my young eyes helped me feel confident enough to go out into the world and to say, you know what, I'm going to go be a lawyer, not just in Chicago, I'm going to go to New York. When I was in graduate school, not I'm just going to go to business school, I'm going to go be an economist. Many times in places where there weren't a lot of women. Again, that self-advocacy, that fearlessness, and also that fundamental value of wanting to help others has really carried me through my life. So I want to say thanks to my mom. I don't think I get to say thanks to her nearly enough. She's made such a difference in my life. And I love her to bits. And surprise, Mom, I've got something to share with you, too. Your Mother's Day present, I'm going to give to you on the radio because I'm so excited about this. And it kind of brings our discussion full circle. My mom is a huge Willie Nelson fan. I remember as a little kid dancing around our sunroom together with sweat socks tied to our feet to buff the floors after we put Shine Down on the hardwood to Willie Nelson's Stardust album. So if you don't know it already, Willie Nelson is coming to Milwaukee next Saturday, May 18th. So Mom, I got us tickets. And this brings me around to our final point, which is caring for one another. Because the last time I went to the show, I got to go to the show with my mom's best friend who's now passed, Margot Banicki. And Margot was my other mom in many, many instances. And so I look forward to sharing this with you, Mom. We're going to go see Willie. It's going to be absolutely amazing. I love you so much. I am so thankful for you. Sorry, I've been crying 2 days in a row here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Can't help myself. I hope y'all don't mind when I share a little bit of myself with each and every one of you. I hope you each have a wonderful weekend. I hope you get to spend time with someone or remember somebody who showed you that motherly love that we all so richly deserve. That's it for this Friday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. And it's always better when we stand together.
Fall away, oh, may the last one burn into flame.